Hello, all you military lovers out there. Welcome back to Military Brats. I'm your host, Marnita Hazel. Now, my usual episodes are about me and my fellow military kids talking about our experiences with military guardians. Today is going to be different. Today, my topic may trigger some veterans out there, but I want everyone to know that the goal for this episode is to make sure everyone feels comfortable and safe. Now, on that note, today's guest is my father, retired Master Sergeant Ronald Hazel.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming today. Okay, Dad. So like you know, my target audience is military life and how people cope with living with the military and how people can try to know the rules of what to do and what not to do. So I thought, why not talk to someone with 27 years experience of being in the military? So, for those who are not new to my podcast, let's start from the beginning. Okay, Dad. So just for people to know your background, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town. Well, at the time it was a small town called Jupiter, Florida.
Okay. So like, you know, I tell people all the time you're from Jupiter, Florida, but I never say the Florida part. So everyone's just looking at me like I'm crazy because they say, wait, your dad's from Jupiter, like the planet.
Yes.
So it's a great way to tell people, no, there's actually a place in Florida called Jupiter. Okay. So I know you have siblings, but for everyone out there, why don't you just say how many you have?
I have three siblings. I have an older sister, an older brother, and a younger sister.
Okay. So because this is military life and you, of course, are in the military, what did your parents do when you were a kid?
My mother was a nurse's assistant, and my father was a construction worker. He was a concrete finisher, a brick mason.
Okay. So can you tell me what branch of the military you were in?
I thought there was only one branch. Army.
Oh, you're real funny. Did your family support your decision in going into the Army?
Of course. Yes, they did.
What made you go into the Army? Like, were you approached by a recruiter, or did you have a feel to go to the service?
No, I was not approached by a recruiter. I went to the military because I didn't want to pour concrete after high school.
So it was like a rebellion thing.
Yes.
Tell me about the time you were in basic training.
At best times of my life. How specific do you want me to be?
Well, I mean, there's all these pranks that people talk about now, how they would try to do when their COs weren't watching. Do you have one particular time in basic training you remember?
Well, we did all of that. But the most particular, the one that comes to memory or jogs my memory is when you had to go to the gas chamber. And the gas chamber is a chemical agent. And you had to put on your mask. There's a seal on it. Well, when you go inside the chamber, the drill sergeants forced you to break the seal. And you had to say your name, serial number, and your date of birth before you were allowed to get out under that nerve agent. And the conditions that it put you in, it caused you the runny eyes, the runny nose, the vomiting. It was something extraordinary that I would never forget.
Was it kind of like when people are out doing protests and they're getting thrown, what's it called, the little things that make you cry, those little bombs that police officers throw at them?
Yes, absolutely. The tear gas.
Yes. Yes. It was like that, but in a big room.
That's exactly what it was.
Oh, wow. Now, for you, Dad, and for all of the military viewers out there, I just want to see if I can hit anybody with some nostalgia back when they were recruits. So why don't I say some words and you can see if you can remember them still.
Okay.
All right. So how about Hua?
Well, I believe you want to say is Hua.
Hua? That's how you say it?
Hua, yeah.
Okay.
Now, Hua shows motivation. Or demonstrating that you understand. If you're asked to do something and you or you've received instruction, instead of saying I understand or yes, you would simply reply with Hua.
Oh, okay.
if you're told to go somewhere, if you're told to do something, if you're told to get something, you will respond with hua.
So next time I have to do dishes, I'll just say hua.
Well, you got to be careful. If you say hua, that means you understand and you will do it.
Oh, a little slick there. All right. All right. How about pogi bait?
Forbidden fruit. Well, pogi bait is forbidden food. Normally, it's candy. Things that you're not allowed to have. We were never allowed to have any food in the barracks, especially from the mess hall. We would normally get the desserts, and we would hide it, either in a foot locker, inside a wall locker, and sometimes we would hide it up in the ceilings.
So you really couldn't bring food outside of the mess hall?
Not allowed.
Wow. Okay. Roger.
Yes. That's what it means.
You can't just say yes.
Roger's real radio talk meaning yes, I understand.
Okay. Last one, it was hurry up and wait.
Well, when you're in the military, that's a famous thing, a famous quote, hurry up and wait. When you're forced to hurry up to get where you're going. So normally in the morning time, you have to hurry up, get your gear, hurry up, get your weapons, hurry up, get everything together, get the formation, hurry up and get to the designated point to ultimately arrive. And the thing that you're going to get, the vehicle, the helicopter, the plane, the equipment, they're not there because they're on a different time schedule than you. But we always have to hurry up to get somewhere. Ultimately, the thing that we're hurrying up to get to simply isn't there at that specific time. But so, you got to hurry up and get there.
So when people talk about how military time is where you have to be there before the actual time, could that be around the same thing as hurry up and wait?
Yeah, well, military time is a real thing. Military time is 15 minutes prior to the time. So if you're supposed to be somewhere at 10 o'clock, well, you got to be there at 9:45.
Okay.
That's a real thing.
Okay. So there are some videos out there of soldiers being asked after basic training, they have to stand in rows with the rest of their, I want to say squad. Is that correct?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And they can't move until they're tapped out by a loved one. When you finished basic training, did you get that experience?
I can't remember getting tapped out by a loved one. No, I don't.
No.
I can't remember anything like that.
Oh, okay.
I do remember my family was at my basic training graduation.
Okay. But it wasn't like today where people just run up to their families and until they are touched, they can move?
I didn't have that experience.
No. Okay.
But we had a ceremony.
Of course. Yeah. All right. Now, when it comes to being out in public in your uniform, usually civilians would stop and salute you or say thank you for your service. Can you explain why you don't really like or believe that's really necessary all the time?
Well, I never dislike civilians saying thank you for your service. That's something I've always embraced. I've liked hearing that every time I was out and about. One of the specific things that I couldn't, it was hard for me to tolerate, was a civilian that saw me in uniform and would automatically go to a salute.
Okay.
And that salute is vested in tradition. And normally a civilian would get it wrong. And sometimes they would salute me with their left hand rather than the correct right hand. And it was just so odd, and they would bumble through it, and I found it more insulting than an appreciation. But I've always enjoyed getting a thank you from a civilian.
Like a recognition?
I've always enjoyed that.
Okay. What do you personally think makes a successful soldier?
Someone that will follow, listen to orders, and one that can lead, one that doesn't complain, and one that has a vested interest of completing the mission with everyone concerned.
Okay. When you were in the Army, were you always excited for the next day of work?
Like, I could say so, as much as the next man. I could say so, yes.
Can you tell me a fond memory that you have of the Army?
A fond memory?
Yeah, just one memory out of the thousands, I guess.
A fond memory.
What?
I don't know how specific do you want me to get? How
whatever detailed? You feel.
As the longer I stayed in the military, the more rank I got. I enjoyed traveling.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. Every 3 to 4 years we would have to move.
Right.
I actually enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother didn't enjoy it, but I actually enjoyed moving all across the world every 3 to 4 years.
Where would you say was probably one of your top favorites?
We were assigned, you weren't born yet, but we were assigned in Japan, me and your mother. We thoroughly enjoyed our time in Japan.
Okay. Nowadays, people my age that are in the military talk about how it's a lifestyle and how you have to be born into it or you have to feel for it. Do you agree with that statement?
I do, and I'm rather surprised to hear people of your age saying that it's a lifestyle. I embrace that. That's something my generation talked about. The military is not a job. It is a lifestyle, and I absolutely embrace that, and I'm surprised that someone in your age group says the same thing.
Yeah, well, sometimes they're the football jocks of the group that have to make a name for themselves, but they are not wrong about that statement.
Okay.
You used to inform family members about deaths. Do you think that took a toll on the job sometimes?
Well, not on the job. But
well, on you?
It did. It did. I believe it aged me prematurely. It's something about a real life situation, death, when you have to inform a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, aunt, uncle, niece, girlfriend, boyfriend, that someone has passed on. It's difficult, but it made me into a better person where I can tolerate the humanity of it all and human kindness.
Okay. So for this part, I want to ask you, Dad, some advice you would give to young recruits right now trying to figure their way out in the military that are listening to this podcast. What would you give them advice on when it comes to advancing into the Army?
I would say keep your head down, listen to instructions, learn all you can, and do the best that you can.
Okay. What about family life? Because there are some people out there that do have families that are in the military, but sometimes they're not able to hold on to them like you have for the 27 years that you were in the Army. What would you say to the ones that are going through difficult times while being in the military?
It's important if you're young, especially if you're young, and if you have if you're young and you're newly wedded or you have a spouse, it's important that they understand that it's not just you that have been enlisted or commissioned into this lifestyle of the military. They are also. And it's important that they understand that they serve as well as you're serving. And whatever they can do to help you with this, it would only be to the advantage of you sustaining this type of military lifestyle.
Okay. What about when they are, say, in a war zone or anything like that? What about supporting the fellow soldier? How would you help them with that one.
When you mean support them in the war zone?
Well, say you're pinned down or something, but you're still able to get help at the end of the day, but they still have a feeling of trauma from what they saw? Or...
Well, one of the things, and it's part of my generation, is, and you're, you know, you're a soldier. You work through it. I think it's time out for that. If you are experiencing something that you need to talk, don't be afraid to talk things out. And I believe that's one of the things that I regret, that I didn't talk out things that I should have in the past.
So when people say suck it up, you're saying no, go talk to someone?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. So for the soldiers out there that still think that I don't want people to see me with this stigma about talking to someone, or how can I talk to someone about something that they have no idea that happened? You know those support groups where military people always say, well, you have no idea what it's like and stuff like that. Can you talk about how they should get over that? Or
well, it's... In the medical community, one thing that I didn't realize, this policy we have called HIPAA, it's no one else's business if you go speak with a healthcare professional about any situation with yourself, medical, mental, or anything. It's no one else's business. So I would encourage not just soldiers, but anyone, if they're dealing with any mental stresses or mental issues, to seek out a healthcare provider or mental health provider. That's between you and them. It does not need to bleed into your military life. It doesn't need to bleed into your professional life at all, unless you want it to.
Okay. So you are a leader in the Army, correct?
No, I would think so, yeah.
What advice would you give to new leaders in their commands?
Listen. Feel the pulse of your troops. Listen to your... If you have a senior non-commissioned officer in your midst, listen to them. Feel the pulse for them. Speak up for them. Be an advocate for them. And take care of their health and welfare.
How can you give them advice with handling the leadership role?
Give me, I don't
so,
say that again.
As leaders, you all have a turning point, I would say, mm-hmm. where something just got to you as being a leader. How could you help someone cope with that situation of getting them over the hump of this was my choice? It might not have been correct, but I stand by it.
Well, take it day by day. If there's a difficult decision to make, make the decision as if you're making the decision based on what would you do with your son, your daughter. So if you make a decision and if you internalize it, as a true leader should, how would this affect my son, my daughter, my family? And I think ultimately you will come out on top.
Okay. We saw a show a couple of nights ago, and there was a line in there that said, a leader won't have a good night's sleep. And you agreed to this.
I did.
You did.
I did.
I just want you to express, you know, why you agreed.
The non-transparent part of being a leader is, They're constantly reviewing if they made the right decision. They're constantly reviewing, did I make the decision in the best interest of my team, my group, my mission, my unit? They're constantly reevaluating the decisions that they made on a continuous basis. So, and that saying, a true leader never gets a good night's sleep, is simply because they're tossing and turning with the decisions that they've made thus far.
So it's not that it's because they're not getting a good night's sleep because they have to think about it. It's because they are trying to see if they can think of the best scenario in all fronts.
Well, no, I would say it's a combination of everything that you've just said.
Okay.
They want to make the best decision. They want to do what's right by their men. They want to do what's right by their unit. They want to do what's simply what's right. And sometimes it will keep one up at all night. Inspiration comes at midnight. Good ideas come at midnight.
So for retirement, I remember it wasn't a great time for you because you still wanted to be in the Army. You still believe to this day that you can still do a good job and a good time amount in the Army. But when it was time for your unit to throw you a party for your retirement, you did show a brave face and you talked about your experience a little bit. Can you, if you could go back to that party and see all of your, what is that, your unit? If you could see your unit again, is there anything you would say to this?
Anything that I'll say that I didn't say?
Anything. If you would say anything to them, what would you say now that you're out and you're with your family and you're in civilian life?
Well, there's nothing. I don't believe there's anything that I would say differently other than what I have said. Enjoy your time. And when it's time to retire, find a way to reconnect with your family. And you'd be surprised at certain things that your family members do that you were totally unaware of. Find a way to reconnect with your family and friends, even neighbors. You know, at one point, I never knew our neighbors. I never knew the makeup of our neighborhood until since retired. So I wouldn't say that I would say anything different other than what I've already said.
Okay. There was a part in your retirement where you had to ring the bell.
Yes.
How did you feel when you rang the bell?
There was a certain sense of satisfaction, a mission accomplished. And it was very fulfilling and satisfying to me.
You are now in the civilian workforce, not Army, but you still have ties to military because of where you work. For one, you work for the Veterans Affairs.
I do.
Yes. So in the time you have worked there, you have gotten 2 promotions?
Yes. Yes.
2? When it comes to those promotions, did it feel like an accomplishment as in getting a rank up in the Army?
Well, it feels the same way, you know. The thing about it is working for the Veteran Affairs Administration, I finally realized there was other branches of the military other than the Army.
Oh, there's not just the Army, huh?
No.
It's Marines and Navy, Air Force.
So I'm told.
Yes. Are you excited to go to work now that you're at Veteran Affairs?
I am. I thoroughly enjoy I see my new job as my new mission, the health and welfare of our veterans. And there's more veterans than there are active duty members. So I thoroughly enjoy working with the VA.
Because you work from home now, I sometimes, listen in to your phone calls over the over the headsets. And sometimes the veterans are not too happy with the services. Is there, because you work at the Veteran Affairs now, do you have a better understanding of patients?
I do. And, well, no system is perfect. We operate on a system that we've designed. We're trying to get it better. I work on a system of Veteran Affairs where we try to authorize and approve benefits. And in some cases, we're unable to approve or authorize benefits on everything, but we try our best to facilitate every veteran's request.
Now, when you look back, all the times and experiences you had with the Army and comparing them to being in the Veterans Affairs offices, do you like where you are right now?
I do. I'm comfortable where I'm at right now.
Can you explain just a little bit what you do now?
Well, right now I work with the Benefits Administration, where we review and potentially approve disability award claims. And I find that very fulfilling and rewarding.
Okay, last question. After this whole interview, after rekindling your past and hearing about what you do now, would you do it again?
In a heartbeat.
All right. Thank you so much for coming today, Dad. I hope everyone out there enjoyed this podcast segment.
Thank you.
I will talk to you all again and have a great night.